Sometimes when we're traveling through those wilderness experiences, hungry, hurting, lonely, it's the obvious thing to do whatever it takes to end the pain. It's logical, really. Or is it? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Thanks so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today we're going to look at the temptation, and it is a temptation, to end our suffering in our own strength. Sounds a little odd, doesn't it? So let's head into God's Word to find out what this temptation is all about. And please do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you understand what God's up to when you find yourself in a wilderness. Well, this week on the program is the second message in a series that I've called Discovering the Hidden Things of God. It's a paradox. God does some really strange things sometimes. Have you noticed that? I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but it seems that it's during the really difficult times in life, those wilderness experiences, that we seem to learn and to grow and to develop in our character. And it's a place and a time that, well, when we're there, we wish we weren't in it, because those wilderness times are painful. God prunes us and purifies us and changes us and makes us so much stronger. He teaches us humility and patience and how to wait on God. But when we're there, it's just never fun and it never feels good. And we always have this sense that we shouldn't be there and it's all too hard. And what am I doing here? We began looking last week at this very wilderness experience in the life of Jesus Christ. Just before he begins his public ministry, he has this amazing baptism, and then God throws him out into the desert. When Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water, and at that very moment, heaven was opened up, and he saw the Spirit of God descending down on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And yet, even though he has this amazing baptism experience, straight after that, Luke's gospel, if you have a Bible, grab it, open it at Luke chapter 4. Luke tells us that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan where he was baptized and was led by that same Spirit into the desert where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was really, really hungry. It's a strange thing for God to do, to pick up his one and only son after this awesome baptism and throw him out into the desert, into the wilderness, where he had no protection. It was hot during the day. It was freezing cold at night. He couldn't eat anything. It was a time of complete vulnerability. And it's in those places, those very places, that we discover the hidden things of God. Imagine, the devil was tempting Jesus for 40 days while he was starving. Have you ever wondered about the devil? Why does God allow the devil to do that? Why did God allow the devil to tempt Jesus? And why does God allow the devil still today to tempt and attack us? Isn't God all about blessing us? Isn't God all about leading us into a promised land of an intimate and wonderful and joyous relationship with him? What role does the devil have to play in all of that? Why does it seem that every time we're in this wilderness, he's out there waiting for us, just as he was with Jesus? Aren't we supposed to be living a life of victory? Let's just look at that for a moment, because the way I see it when I read God's word is that the devil is part of God's creation, and therefore he's part of God's sovereign plan. God gives us a role to play, and he wants us to know who we are and to know about ourselves and to give us this opportunity to learn and to grow and to decide to follow Jesus in our own right. This is what free will is all about. And we find this principle about why God leaves these things there to tempt us, including the devil, way, way back in the book of Joshua. You remember that God promised this promised land to Abraham, And then Abraham had a son called Isaac, and Isaac had a son called Jacob. Jacob had the 12 sons, of whom one was Joseph. And those 12 sons became the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel, and they found themselves in slavery in Egypt. And finally, after 4 centuries of slavery, they were a great and mighty nation. And God calls Moses and does amazing miracles to Pharaoh and to Egypt. And finally, Moses leads the people out of slavery and out of captivity through the Red Sea, which is parted, and then takes them through a journey of 40 years in the desert to the promised land, the land that was promised to Abraham all those centuries before. And as you read the book of Joshua, you see how they cross over into the promised land, and they take that promised land battle after battle after battle. It was promised to them. And yet, they don't take it completely. For example, if you read in Joshua chapter 15 and verse 63, it says, "But the people of Judah could not drive out the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So the Jebusites live with the people of Judah in Jerusalem till this day." And actually, when you read this book of Joshua in the Old Testament, which is the book of how Joshua leads the people to take the land that God promised to Abraham all those centuries before, you see this happen several times. There are certain tribes that the Israelites can't drive out of the promised land. Now, that's really weird, because God promises the land to the Israelites. So why is it this way? I mean, when I was reading through the book of Joshua just recently, it struck me. Why does God promise them something and then he leaves this remnant of opposition behind? It's a bit like us. Jesus promises so much, and yet the devil is left behind, and sin and temptation are still there. Why is that? Well, the answer is in the book of Judges. It's the book that comes immediately after Joshua. Flip over a few pages, go to Judges chapter 2, verse 22, and it says this: "In order to test Israel, whether or not they would take care to walk in the way of the Lord as their ancestors did, the Lord their God had left those nations, not driving them out at once, and therefore he had not handed them over to Joshua." There's a spiritual principle here. It's God's way of letting us exercise our free will. It's the same with the devil out in the wilderness. God takes us deliberately into times of testing. God promised the promised land to Israel, and yet he didn't allow them to drive out some of the tribes because he wanted to see whether Israel would follow God or whether they would start worshipping the gods of these tribes and nations that God left behind in that promised land. The reason he did that was in order to test Israel to see whether or not they would take care to walk in the way of the Lord the way that their ancestors did. Exactly the same with the wilderness and the devil. God takes us through a time of testing, just as he did with Jesus. Notice, it wasn't the devil who led Jesus into the wilderness, it was God himself. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, writes Luke, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. This place of hunger and vulnerability and testing and wilderness is the place we discover the hidden things of God. This is where we discover what's really going on in our hearts. This is the place where either we pass the test, as difficult as it may seem at that moment, and learn and grow and develop in our relationship with Jesus, or it's the place where we fail the test and we have to go round for another turn and round again and round again. See, that sets the scene. Today on the program, we're going to look at the very first temptation that the devil laid before Jesus, one that I've called the logical seduction, because this particular temptation makes such enormous sense when you listen to it. And let's see what Jesus went through and what we learn about him and us and God in that place.
I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. As we take this short break, I'd like to tell you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you draw even closer to God. It's called Fresh, a short daily devotional, a scripture verse with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet, or computer each day. You can read to it, listen to the audio, or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. God's word, fresh for you each day. It's completely free, and to get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the fresh devotional sign-up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. So go on, go ahead, sign up to receive fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through His Word. Okay, so the devil dished up three temptations to Jesus in that wilderness experience. The first of those was the temptation for Jesus to end His own suffering in His own strength. Now, why would that be a temptation? After all, why wouldn't we try to end the pain if we possibly could? It's a funny thing that from time to time God does lead us into a wilderness, and then it seems He leaves us there to fend for ourselves. When I think of Jesus out there for 40 days in the wilderness without food, I mean, He must have been starving, literally 40 days with nothing to eat. He would have been feeling dizzy and weak and completely vulnerable. All His natural support mechanisms and His defences were stripped away. I mean, if that had been me, I'd wonder whether I wouldn't have been sitting there after 40 days thinking, oh, all right, God, so you told me that you called me and you told me that you had some bold plan to use me to change the world and you told me that I'm your son, so why aren't you providing for me? Why have you thrown me out here into the desert to starve? And the only person you give me for company is the devil. Imagine you're out there in that burning sun, starving. What's the most logical thing for you to do? I remember a time when I was training to be an officer in the Australian Army. It was 4 tough years. And on more than one occasion, they took us out on survival exercises. And we didn't eat for days. We'd be carrying a heavy pack and a machine gun and ammunition and everything, it seemed, except food. And they'd give you a map and a compass and they'd say, look, we can't get food through to you here. So they'd give us a new grid reference over the radio and we'd have to navigate 25 kilometres over hill and dale where they said there'd be a food drop. And you'd get there and there was no food and you'd radio in and they'd say, oh, look, sorry, the truck couldn't get through there. Here's a new grid reference. And so we'd have to march 32 kilometres in a different direction over hill and dale. And this went on for days. And we had no idea when it was going to end. And we'd get grumpy and hungry and weak and morale was pretty low. And we'd sit there at night. I mean, our stomachs had given up rumbling. We were so hungry. A small squad of 4 or 5 men. And what we talk about is these mongrels and how could they do this? And let's walk out to the nearest highway and get out of here. I look back on that experience now. It was so hard then. But it built our characters. There's something that's hard to explain. And, you know, the obvious temptation when you're in the middle of all that is to grumble and complain and to do something to provide for yourself. You know, it's exactly the same when the Lord puts us into the spiritual wilderness. The most tempting thing under the sun is to provide for ourselves, to seek provision separate from God rather than relying on Him, to try and end the pain and the suffering as quickly as we can. So it's no surprise that the first temptation of the devil tried to hit Jesus in exactly that spot. Let's read it again. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and He was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days He was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, He was hungry. The devil said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Doug Webster, in his book Under the Radar, writes this: "The popular, easy-to-read books on leadership are of no value out in the wilderness. They're not the kind of books you want to read when you're lonely and suffering. Titles like Developing the Leader Within You, or Leadership 101, or Success One Day at a Time, they never make good reading in the wilderness. Seminary degrees and graduate programs may help, but they don't produce leaders. The best networking and mentoring in the world doesn't compare to the importance of the wilderness experience." Because what God was wanting to teach Jesus here in the desert wasn't self-reliance. It wasn't ingenuity or innovation or imagination or invention. It wasn't the ability to forage on the land. It was none of those things.
God threw him out into the desert to starve for 40 days. He was famished. He was weak. He was vulnerable before the devil. And the greatest temptation of all was for Jesus to meet his needs in his own strength. After all, he was the Son of God. After all, he was entitled. I mean, after all, why the heck not? He was hungry. He was in need. No one could deny that. In fact, that first temptation probably didn't feel like much of a temptation at all. It was purely and simply providing for his own needs. And in many respects, this first temptation was a logical seduction. The temptation to meet our needs, even the most acute need of starvation, in our own strength, apart from God, instead of waiting on God. Oh, that's a strong temptation, to end the suffering because we can. It happens in our lives. We're in a situation, perhaps a relationship, and it's hurting. Doug Webster relates the story in his book when he was pastoring a church and they were all giving him a hard time, and his temptation was just to run away, to pack it in, to say, look, I've had these people. I'm going to find another church to pastor. I'm going to find another job. But then he went to a man, another pastor, who gave him some godly advice that went like this. As I've continued to think and pray, I want to urge you not to be too eager to solve the problems and get rid of the suffering that is coming from a murmuring congregation, and to believe that God knew what kind of a congregation it was when he called you there, that perhaps the pain they inflict is being used to the purpose of holiness in you. See, our view is to end the pain. God's view is that he knows that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and that character produces hope, and it's a hope that doesn't disappoint us because the love of God is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. That's what Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. See, God in that wilderness was teaching Jesus something, not self-reliance, God-reliance, faithfully waiting in the desert because that is where God had put him and called him to wait. And Jesus answered the devil so rightly. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. God is teaching us to rely on him and his Spirit within us, not to solve our own problems our own way when we're in that wilderness.
I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. I just want to take a moment during this short break to share something truly important with you. When you find yourself in the midst of a wilderness experience, when the devil's out there tempting you mercilessly, God means to give you victory. In fact, he already has. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called Defeating the Devil in the Wilderness. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you live out the victory that you already have in Jesus Christ. And to help with that, each chapter contains a series of life application questions so that you can think through and apply God's word right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It really is that easy. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. From time to time, God does some strange things. He puts us in places we don't expect to find ourselves. And then, in the middle of those difficult places, he teaches us some of the most powerful lessons we'll ever learn in our lives. Let's take a look.
You know, the hardest thing about wilderness and temptation is that we don't expect it. And that's why we're working our way through Jesus' own wilderness experience on the program over these few weeks. Because God's word is an awesome thing. He equips us with wisdom in the good times so that we're ready when the hard times come, which they inevitably do. Let me ask you a question. What does this first temptation teach us? What hidden jewel of God does it uncover for us? Jesus told a parable in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had to buy that field." See, the hidden treasure that the Lord opens up to us through his word is awesome. Well, what does he want us to learn today? What does he want to write onto our hearts to equip us with his wisdom? Let's look at that temptation again. Luke chapter 4, verse 3. The devil said to Jesus, "If you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone." As you read the Bible over and over and over again, you see how God wants us to rely wholly on him for everything. Doesn't mean that we become spiritual couch potatoes, not that. But that rather than racing off and doing things in our own strength and going our own way, rather than doing the logical thing and ending the pain and the suffering, he wants us to trust in him. Out there in the wilderness, when we're hungry and we're weak, and it doesn't fit with our worldly images of success, because you see, we're programmed to succeed. The world says, you know, if you're lying there in the wilderness vulnerable to the devil, you're a failure, you're a wreck, you're not good enough. It's so different to the plan that God has for us. All the people around us are programmed to tell us when we're not fitting in with their program for success. And at those times, we sometimes want to go out and do things in our own strength. Recently in our ministry, I just felt that we were going through a difficult time. We were working hard and we were tired, and yet in my heart, I sensed God leading us to take our programs into a new country. It was a huge opportunity, lots of work. And my heart is just to grow the reach, and it's just me. I want as many people around the world to hear the good news of Jesus Christ through this program as possible. But one by one, as I pushed the doors, I found that they were shut. And at the same time, I was tired and exhausted. I had this wilderness experience. And you know what the logical seduction of the devil is in that place? Bernie, this is God's work. Just go and do it. And my answer to the devil is God's work is done in God's strength and with God's provision. And racing ahead in Bernie's strength is not the right thing to do. It doesn't fit with the worldly plan for success. Drive, go, do, achieve, succeed, get recognized. You see how easy this seduction is. I know this particular country is going to open up to us, and it's already begun in a small way, but it's not quite God's timing yet. And I need to listen to him and not the world, him and not the devil, to do it in his strength and not my own. What's going on in your life right now where you're tempted to go it alone, to just push ahead, a new job or a new house or a new ministry or a new this or a new that? Or perhaps you're in a difficult place right now and finding church hard, or you're tempted to walk away, or you're finding a relationship hard and you're tempted to end the pain by walking away. Jesus' answer to the devil was simple and straightforward. He said, look, it's not about what I want or what I need. It's about me honoring God in the wilderness. What do we discover there? What's the hidden thing of God that comes to light? Well, for me, as I look back on all the wilderness experiences that I've walked through, the hidden thing that I've discovered is God's faithfulness when I put my trust in him. The hidden thing that I've discovered is it actually, I can make a decision in that wilderness to say, no, it's not time for me to run away. It's not time for me to end the pain. It's not time for me to turn the stones into bread because I can. It's time for me to wait on God and let him provide, ending the pain and ending the suffering and taking the initiative in our own strength. Whatever that means, sure, it fits with the world's plan for success. We may get adulation and slaps on the back from people. But the hidden thing of God is that he's looking for men and women to worship him with their lives, no matter what the cost, according to his plan, no matter what the cost. And it's in that place that he readies us for his purposes. Remember, Jesus had to go through all this. He had to be in the wilderness to starve, to be tempted by the devil before he began his public ministry. His public ministry was going to be really tough. His public ministry was going to take him to crucifixion on a cross. Jesus had to learn obedience through what he suffered in that wilderness. It was God's plan. It was the equipping time. It was God's time in the wilderness. And when we turn to God in that wilderness and say, Lord,
What do you want? Sometimes the answer he gives back to us is, I'm not finished with you here yet. Wait on me. Wait on me. Stay in the wilderness. I am a faithful God. And that's when we turn around to the devil and say, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Well, that's pretty much all we have time for today. But before I go, there's something very important that I need to share with you. Our passion here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer in a rich, dynamic, powerful relationship with Jesus. That's exactly the sort of relationship that I pray you'll be living in with the Lord. So let me encourage you to check out the treasure trove of practical, relevant, and life-changing Bible teaching available at our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. It's full of free resources to help you draw closer to God. So dive into the Media Lounge and watch our weekly Christianity Works TV broadcast or the daily fresh devotional videos. Everything's been conveniently categorized so that you can filter the content to quickly lay hold of the teaching that you need for what you're going through today. Remember, everything on the site is free, including that booklet I mentioned earlier, Defeating the Devil in the Wilderness, and the fresh daily devotional. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact on your life, to bring you His joy, His peace, and His power. So go on, head across to our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time next week, with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.